Hello there and welcome along to this racing postcast. It's Monday the 26th of July. I'm Maddie Plell and this week I'm joined by Tom Collins and David Jennings. What's coming up? Well, in the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to review the King George, which took place at Ascot on Saturday. And it was a historic renewal as well, won by Adeyar, the first three-year-old to win the race, a Derby winner to win the race since Galileo in 2001. And also, we have two mega festivals to look forward to this week. Goodwood and Galway get underway. So we'll be going through the main races and getting some tips for you, rounding off the show with hopefully a best bet from each of our guests. Without further ado, let's get straight on into it. And let's talk about the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Kipco Stakes. Monstrous race this, really. Wonderful tonight. Will she, won't she? She wasn't going to run in the end for David Menizier. She was taken out on account of the ground. Ascot didn't receive the rain. But it was won in the end by Adeyar, who beat Mishriff and Love. As I say, it was a momentous victory in terms of the three-year-old classic generation. Not often we see them succeed in this race, certainly not as much as we have historically anyway. TC, what was your initial thoughts following the race?
Hi, Maddie. Yeah, I was on the track. It was a great race. The atmosphere was electric, which is something I've really missed since we've been allowed back on the track, actually. Went to Sandown on Thursday. It was pretty quiet, but the atmosphere at Ascot on Saturday was really good. Everyone was heated up and ready for the race as well. Broome's slow start obviously wasn't the plan. Kind of ruined the first couple of furlongs. They walked early. Lone Eagle was too keen. Obviously, Frankie Dettori's arms were basically pulled out, hence why he ran disappointingly. But once Broome got into the race after three furlongs, nine furlongs out, he injected the pace and the race really began in earnest. I thought there was a good ride and a bad ride in the field. The good ride came from David Egan. I thought he was brilliant on Mishriff. He made his remove exactly at the right time, blocked in Love, gave the Saudi Cup winner every chance of winning. And he ran a very good race to finish second. Thought the bad ride came from Ryan Moore. I'm a big fan of him, but I thought it was pretty average on Love. I expected her to go forward, like we saw at Ascot. Maybe not lead, maybe sit on the shoulder of Broome. But after Broome missed the start, I thought Ryan should have dictated the pace. They went slow enough, and she's very good off the front. I think that's a perfectly reasonable excuse for Love and why she didn't win. I don't think the race was run to suit her ideally. She still ran well and galloped on for third. But the race was all about Adeyar, wasn't it? He's developed into a top-class three-year-old, phenomenal horse. First classic generation colt since Nathaniel to win the race. First Derby winner, as you say, since Galileo. I think he'll win the St. Ledger pretty comfortably. It was just a really good race.
Do you think he'll run in the St. Ledger then?
Well, you know what? I don't know, because obviously they've got Hurricane Lane. I think they should go to the St. Ledger. They've been talking about him as a St. Ledger horse since the start of the season. Everyone was saying that he'll be going to Doncaster instead of the Derby. I mean, that's how much of a St. Ledger horse he looked. It'll be interesting to see where they go. I didn't see the plans because obviously I didn't see an interview being on course at the time or since, but I would personally be going towards the St. Ledger.
That's interesting. They seem to have been
No. How can you possibly say that, Tom Collins?
He's such a good stayer, though, isn't he? He would dominate that race.
He can win the Ark. Why would you go for the St. Ledger when you can win the Ark?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't think he could run in the Ark and the St. Ledger, Tom?
Well, look, he's had a tough season already, hasn't he? With the Derby and obviously the King George, the Ark, St. Ledger. Imagine if he ran in both and won both. What a horse he would be. He'd be go down in the history books after just eight races in his career. I don't know. Look, I would personally go to the Ark with him. St. Ledger. I think the Ark's a very hot race this year. But DJ's obviously got a different view.
Before we go over to DJ, then I'll give you some betting on the Ark. So Snowfall, a best price, 7-2. Adeyar, 9-2. Hurricane Lane, his stablemate, of course, also housed in Charlie Appleby's stable, 7-1. Tanawa and Wonderful Tonight, who we didn't see at Ascot, both at 8s. St. Mark's Basilica, this would be a step up in trip for the Coral Eclipse when he's 9s. Love pushed out to as big as 10-1. And Japanese horse Contrail, 12s. Mishriff, who ran such a gallant race, as we've talked about, 14s. So it's a classy field. DJ, we had to compare both Adeyar and Hurricane Lane in a jury following the race. Just explain to people why you're so keen on Adeyar. And you really like him for the Ark, don't you?
I do, yeah. I think he surprised them. I don't think at the start of the season, if you ask Charlie Appleby to rank his three-year-old colts, I don't think Adyar would have really been in the reckoning. Like, you have to remember, like, it wasn't that long ago. You're only talking about the last week of April when this horse went off 8-1 for the Classic Trial, a Group 3 at Sandown. So he's made giant strides in a very short space of time. It's funny, I actually really did like his run in the Derby Trial at Lingfield. I thought it was a funny sort of a race, but I did think there was some promise in it. And then obviously what he's done at Epsom and in the King George since. To me, it's all about ground. I think no matter what the ground throws up in Longchamp, and obviously it's likely to be on the soft side given the time of the year that it is, I think he seems fine, equally versatile on decent quick ground like it was on Saturday, or on slower ground. Like when he won his maiden at Nottingham by 9 lengths, it was basically bottom of us that day and he came down the outside and won by 9 lengths. I think so many others are going to be inconvenienced by the ground at Longchamp on Arc Day, and you know he's going to absolutely relish it. There's only a fortnight between the St. Ledger and the Arc. Like, I think they've got to have a go. Hurricane Lane is a very good horse. I just don't think he's as good as Adyar, and I think Adyar is getting better all the time. Like, he was quite keen in the early part of that King George on Saturday, and I just loved when Mishriff came to him. Like, Mishriff traded at 1.75 and running, and Mishriff is a good horse. I'm not quite sure he definitely stays a mile and a half, but he's a good horse. And Adyar just brushed him aside. Like, he just, with the minimum of fuss, I thought it was a hell of a performance. And at the moment, he was 5-1 for the Arc straight after the race. I thought he was about a 3-1 shot, to be honest with you.
Very interesting indeed. Tom, I know the weight for age and allowances is something you're very animated about. Just to contextualise his win, I mean, how do you think he would have done off-level weight?
I think he probably would have won the race anyway. Look, it's opinion, isn't it? We don't actually know for sure. But he was so dominant in the finish. He hit the line really powerfully. Mishriff, as I say, was given an A-plus ride. I don't think he could have got any closer, no matter how he would have, how was ridden, if the race was run again. Adyar was just dominant in there. Yeah, I don't think the weight for age should be as dramatic as it is. He achieved an RPR of 1.28, highest rated three-year-old this year, beating St. Mark's Basilica's previous rating. Just going back to the Arc, I thought Hurricane Lane was the one that was put into the Arc by Appleby. I thought that was the whole point of running him in the Grand Prix de Paris last time. He was very impressive that day. It'll be interesting to see what Appleby does. It's a very nice dilemma for the trainer, isn't it?
It is. Ideally, we'd see them racing against each other, wouldn't we? But unlikely to happen, perhaps. Let's talk about Mishriff. I mean, he's going to go back to 10 furlongs now for the Judmont International. Ran a good race, as you say. Both somewhat doubtful that he stays the full a mile and a half. What do we think Adyar's sort of his main vulnerability is? If people are trying to get him beat in the future, what do you think that is, Tom?
It's a very interesting question because he's improving at such a rapid rate of knots that in the last two starts, we actually haven't seen a weakness with Adyar. Previously, there looked to be a couple. I mean, at Lingfield, when he was beaten by Third Realm, he was outdone by the speed of that horse that day. And we saw at Epsom, his speed had definitely come on leaps and bounds. He quick and clear, like a really smart horse. He clearly gets the trip really well. I don't know what beats Adyar, which is why I think he would win the St. Ledger pretty comfortably. The Arc is an interesting proposition. It's a completely different race, isn't it? To be fair, from an interesting, you know, neutral point of view, I would like to see him in the Arc just to see how good he is, given I think he would absolutely dominate the St. Ledger. You know, I just want to see where he goes.
And of course, the brilliant season for Frankel as a sire continues. He's responsible for both Adyar and Hurricane Lane and so many other top class horses this year. So that'll be interesting to follow, especially now his father, Galileo, is no longer with us. Now we're going to take a quick pause now, but don't go anywhere because Goodwood and Galway previews are coming your way.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
First up then, it's Goodwood we're going to look at this week. Glorious Goodwood, the meeting, although perhaps it might not be because there's plenty of rain forecast for the area. That could have a key impact on how things pan out. Tom, are you going to be looking for soft ground horses, do you think?
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? I think the ground's currently described as soft. There's rain forecast all week. So you definitely want a horse that appreciates a bit of given ground. You asked for a punting pointer in the running order this morning. Obviously, your first thought when it comes to Glorious Goodwood is looking at the trainers and the jockeys, much like with most courses and these big meetings. Mark Johnson and Ashim Murphy stand out in those categories. But that's really well documented and pretty boring, to be honest. I prefer the draw angle, especially on the straight course, because the cameras are situated toward the sand side, aren't they? And your eyes automatically drawn to those on the rail. If you run the figures, those drawn in the middle on the straight course sprints are actually really well suited and get kind of a bias because the field just collapses across towards the stand side in the mid to small field races. Obviously, like the Stewards' Cup, they go into three groups, two groups, whatnot. And also, there's a big bias towards front runners, downhill track at Goodwood, not as testing and stiff as Ascot. So look towards those that want to go forward and those that are drawn in the middle of the track.
Fabulous. Let's look at the highlights each day then. On Tuesday, tomorrow, things kick off. And at 3:35, the highlight, the Al Shakab Goodwood Cup Stakes takes place. And Stradivarius, of course, the fan favourite, is aiming for a remarkable fifth win in the race. One of his main rivals would have been Subjectivist. He's out, but Mark Johnston fields Sir Ron Priestley, who bounced back to form at Newmarket last time. Trushan's in with a chance there. He'll certainly be suited by softer conditions, as well as Spanish Mission, who's been a really improved horse of late. Do you think Stradivarius is going to be vulnerable? What would your pick be at the prices, Tom?
At the prices, I think he is vulnerable because he's a short price and he was beaten last time out. And, you know, when you take a short price around even money or a bit bigger in the case of Stradivarius, you don't want your horse to be beaten last time out, especially in the Ascot Gold Cup. I think he'll be well suited by the drop back in 2 miles. We obviously know he handles this track really well, having won it 4 times. The injury to Subjectivist, which takes a bit of gloss off the race, really has opened the door again for Stradivarius. I think he's slightly vulnerable, but I do have to say, I think he retains the same level of form as we've seen in previous years. I don't think he was far off his best in the Cigarro first time up on a seasonal reappearance where he beat Ocean Wind, a really good stayer. And last time out, although some people thought he would win the Ascot Gold Cup, he wasn't hampered 3 furlongs out. Subjectivist was a league above, in my opinion. I thought he would have finished second. And what's intriguing about Stradivarius's performance was that after he got hampered 3 furlongs out, he actually ran the quickest sectional in the race, 2 furlongs to 1 furlong out of any horse in there, which showed that he managed to refine his stride really quickly, got up to top gear, which you don't often see with horses that hampered, especially when the race is quickening at that point. And then he was just eased off close home when the gap closed against the rail and Frankie knew the chance had gone. Soft ground isn't ideal for him. His 4 previous wins in the race came on good, but there really isn't that much depth, is there, in the race after the first 3 or 4 in the market. I reckon he'll overturn the form with Spanish Mission, who got a much better run at Ascot. The ground has come for Trushan, but he's only half the price he was 4 days ago. I think Stradivarius will probably win, though he's a short price.
You say soft ground. That's always been a talking point, hasn't he? Because he was so impressive in last year's Gold Cup on what was really dismal conditions. It will suit Trushan, maybe not so much Spanish Mission and Sir Ron Priestley. The betting for you then, if you are siding with Stradivarius, he's a best price 6-4 chance. Trushan, as we've indicated, has come in. He's 5-2. Spanish Mission 11-2. Sir Ron Priestley 8-1, Santiago 14, Serpentine 16s, Emperor of the Sun 25s, and it's 33-1. Bar DJ, any adding thoughts? We're going to champion you for Galway on this show, but are you with Stradivarius or against him?
Yeah, I think 6-4 is very fair, Maddie. I think like he was the second best horse in the Gold Cup. I think most people would agree with that. I think if he finished second, he'd be much closer to evens or slightly odds on. He's obviously not maybe quite as good as he was, but I don't think these are vintage crop of stayers either when you take Subjectivist out of it. I think he'll win. I think you'll find far worse 6-4 shots throughout the week than Stradivarius. You know what you're going to get with him, so I wouldn't certainly put anybody off. The one horse who is overpriced is Serpentine. Spoke to Aidan O'Brien. It was a big rush to get him to the Gold Cup. Massive rush. Had to run in the Tattersalls Gold Cup over a mile and two. Like, so it was just a bit of a mess. He went from the Tattersalls Gold Cup over a mile and two, then doubled and tripped to go up to the Ascot Gold Cup. And you know what? When you actually look back on last year's form, he obviously won the Derby and people have their opinions on whether it was a fluke or not. But like, he actually ran quite well, I thought, in the Champion Stakes at Ascot when he was 4-1. Wasn't that far behind Magical on soft ground. I thought that was a decent enough run. And just chatting to Aidan this morning, I get the impression from Aidan that he's in a much better place now than he was before he went to Ascot. That was 2.5 miles as well. And I think the big thing here that it's 2 miles. I think Serpentine, I think if he does get into a better rhythm here than he did at Ascot, there's still some 20-1 out there. He's 20-1 bet 365. He's definitely the number one from the stable. it seems to me that Ryan was always going to ride him ahead of Santiago. So I just wouldn't be surprised. I know there's an element of fluke about this Derby winner, and because he didn't run well in the Gold Cup, you're kind of saying to yourself, he's finished. I just don't know if he is or not. I think you'll see a big performance from Serpentine. I wouldn't give up on him, and I think 20s is probably double the price he should be.
Fantastic. A value selection there from David Jennings. Now, we've just got through this morning the declarations for Wednesday's action, and the highlight again at 3:35 is the Qatar Sussex Stakes. And a bit of a curveball here somewhat with two fillies, Snow Lantern and Alcohol Free, declared for this race. They're going to come up against Poetic Flair, the electric St. James's Palace winner, who's been busy but has been brilliant as well. This is an interesting field. How do you think it's going to work out, Tom?
Yeah, it's an interesting field. Obviously, the lack of Palace Pier kind of takes a bit of gloss off the race. This race was billed to be a match between Poetic Flair and Palace Pier. Obviously, the three-year-old getting weight. It looks to me like Poetic Flair is a cut above in this race. If he can reproduce his St. James's Palace form, he was just so impressive that day at Royal Ascot, wasn't he? A clear step up. Now, I don't know if that was a one-off performance. Obviously, he's a very good horse. He's won the Guineas. I didn't know if that was a one-off because it was such a much more impressive visual performance, in my opinion, anyway. If it wasn't a one-off, I think he'll win this race pretty closely. But he's a short price to do so. If I was punting in the race, it's got quite a nice each-way shape, I think. Snow Lantern's had a pretty tough season already. Although the booking of Jamie Spencer is pretty interesting. Lopi Fernandez is going to be well fancied for a place with Frankie aboard. I quite like Du Hale at a massive price for Andre Farb, whose horses often, you know, warrant respect when he brings them over to the UK. William Buick was actually booked for him last week when I had a look at the race. Now Jim Crowley's booked, so I don't know why Will's got off. He hasn't got another ride in the race from what I can see. But he's been really consistent this year, Du Hale. He has to improve a bunch to get close in this race. I don't think he'll beat Poetic Flair, don't get me wrong. But he might run into a place in a race where a few pounds separates those in behind the favourite.
Okay, what do you make of this one, DJ? Poetic Flair, he has been fantastic. I'm not so sure about him if the ground gets really soft. Do you think that's a valid concern?
It is, yeah. And it's funny when he was beaten at Longchamp, you know, Jim put it down to the ground. And then, like, he obviously ran a cracker in the Irish 2000 Guineas, even though he's beaten by his stablemate, McSweeney. He does seem, obviously, when he was, like, I thought he was definitely the most impressive winner of the entire week at Ascot when he won the St. James's Palace Stakes. And again, Jim pointed to the ground. He wants quick ground. He's best on quick ground. And he probably will win because he does have form. Like, even last year when he was a juvenile, he won on yielding soft ground at Leopardstown as well. So he does have form on this ground. I think he copes with it. I think he's better on quicker ground. Would I want to be steaming in at 4-5? Probably not. Like, I'd prefer to back Stradivarius at his price than back Poetic Flair at his, to be honest with you. I think Stradivarius probably is less to beat. The one who I think is overpriced is Alcohol Free. I think 9-1 each way is very, very fair. I kind of thought Oisin Murphy's hand was forced in the foul mount. He had the rail. Why give it up? But it was a kind of a catch 22. Do you take advantage of the rail and let her roll, or do you kind of, you know, pull her back, try and get cover, and then hope for a run? So I thought his hand was kind of forced after she broke so well. So I don't think she particularly wanted to be ridden that way. I think she's better, you know, held up a little bit off the pace. And you just go back to that Ascot win when she beat Snow Lantern in the Coronation Stakes. Like, that was on heavy ground. So depending on the rain they get, you know, she's going to cope with conditions. I still thought she ran well behind Snow Lantern at Newmarket, and I wouldn't be surprised if that form was reversed. 9-1 each way. I'd be very, very surprised if Alcohol Free didn't finish in the first three.
Let's clarify some of the other prices then for you. Poetic Flair 4-5, Snow Lantern 13-2. Tom's mentioned Du Hale at 33-1. I'm on that horse as well. And I think he could be one of those sort of flyers in the market. So there is more to this than just Poetic Flair, for sure. It's not a one horse race. What about the Qatar Nassau Stakes then on Thursday at the same time, 3:35? Obviously, with the two fillies, Snow Lantern and Alcohol Free, going for the Sussex, it changes the complexion of this race somewhat. We have the older filly, Ordaria. She's the leader in the market, coming up against the likes of Joan of Arc, who won the Prix de Dijon last time, and Lady Beaufort too. Do you think this will be a strong renewal now those defections have gone to the other race, DJ?
No, I don't. I don't think it's the strongest renewal. It's interesting. Obviously, Lady Beauthorpe in there was unlucky at Newmarket. And Adaria was, you know, ran an absolute cracker against Love. You just have, obviously, a few question marks about the form of the Prince of Wales after Love was well beaten in Armoury. Was a bit disappointing at York as well, even though the Arlington Million looks to be his main aim. So you would just worry a little bit about the form and the sections of that race as well. So I'd be taking Adaria on. I think Joan of Arc is the one who's probably on the improve rapidly. I thought, you know, to be honest, you could probably say she's won her last three in a row, because it was only in the final stride that she was headed by Empress Josephine in the Irish Guineas. Ryan went early enough there and she got a little bit lonely close home. She's improving. She will be fine on the ground no matter what it throws up. I thought she was quite impressive as Shanti. Did what she had to do, was value for more than a winning margin that day over Philomene. And I know, speaking to Aidan, I think this has been the plan ever since. So, I thought Joan of Arc was pretty solid. I'd be taking on the favourite, but if there is some fours available about Joan of Arc, I'd be snapping that up, because I think these two could go very close to disputing favouritism come the off, Adaria and Joan of Arc.
Interesting. TC, what's your view? Who would your selection be? Because there's been a bit of a concertina in the market now.
Yeah, to be honest, this is the one race, when I look through all the big races at Glorious Goodwood, this is the one race I didn't have any strong opinion on. Obviously, Adaria is the horse to beat after the Ascot performance. But the race is definitely going to cut up with Snow Lantern taken out. Obviously, Love won't be running. Aidan O'Brien's got a couple of others that aren't jocked up, as well as Jessica Harrington and Donica O'Brien. So, you know what? This could be a small field. I'd want to see how the race pans out and shapes up before when the final decks are made. At this stage, Adaria is the horse to beat, but I don't want to put up a horse against her.
Okay, it's time for a pause now, but we talked about Stradivarius bidding for a fifth win in the Goodwood Cup. After the break, we're going to talk about Batash, who's aiming for a fifth King George Qatar Stakes. Remarkable sprinter that he's been. Stick with us.
Racing Post Members Club is the only subscription that includes access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m. plus exclusive premium content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe, and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Onwards and upwards to Friday, and again at 3:35, it's the feature time each day for the first couple of days at Goodwood, the King George Qatar Stakes. It's a Group 2 over the 5 furlongs downhill, and it's a course that's seen Batash to best effect in recent years. He's really made this race his own, but will this year be more difficult? He was beaten at Royal Ascot on his reappearance after an injury, and he's got two potentially big challengers in Dragon Symbol and Winter Power. Interesting to hear in today's paper on Dragon Symbol and Oisin Murphy, his view on the horse stepping back down to 5 furlongs after running such a bold race in the July Cup. Tom, are you with Batash or against him?
Well, I've put up a few favourites already, but here's going to be another one. I promise I'll put up a bigger price one in the Stewards' Cup coming up. But I'm with Batash. His record in this race speaks for itself, much like Stradivarius in the Gold Cup, the Goodwood Cup, sorry. You don't win a race 4 times in a row by luck. This Batash is brilliant at Goodwood. He loves the track. It's nowhere near as stiff as at Ascot. It's basically just perfect for Batash. Yes, he was beaten in the King's Stand, but I thought there were 3 perfectly reasonable excuses for the fact that he lost that day. And you have to say, he finished 4th, like he wasn't beaten far. He still ran a very good race. The first excuse is that he was coming off a layoff. I know his record fresh is really good, but to me, he didn't seem A1. He didn't have that same burst as we've seen in previous years. Secondly, the pace of the race, I don't think, helped. Not from the fact that he doesn't benefit from a lead, but more so that I didn't think Jim Crowley expected there to be such a fast gallop set by Kea Moro, who has to be the fastest filly I think I've seen in Britain. She's electric in the first few furlongs. She obviously went forward. Winter Power was up there. Maven or Nate. I think Jim Crowley was half surprised by the fact that Batash was kind of forced to take a lead, and half of his feet as well. He wasn't travelling as well as we normally see. Finally, I thought the ride was subpar. Obviously, I don't want a jockey bash on here, but I thought Jim Crowley went far too far out. He went for home 2 furlongs out. Batash hit the front, showed that immediate acceleration that we've seen in previous years from the star sprinter, but he just couldn't sustain that run. He went so hard early to live with the early pace, and then quickened up. You just can't sustain that acceleration for two furlongs. There was no surprise there was a bit of a pace collapse, and you know, Oxted came through, Arecibo and whatnot to fill the frame. I think if Jim Crowley could ride that race again, he would hold on to Bataille a little bit longer. And with many of those aforementioned speedball pacemakers in the field, the likes of Kea Mauro, Winter Power, etc., I think he's got another chance to do just that. And if he holds on to Bataille with a furlong and a half to go, with a much easier track, a downhill track, rather than the stiff nature of Ascot, I think Bataille will manage to win this race five times in a row.
Okay. Some of the prices on offer. There's a big range, really, but 5 to 4-ish. Dragon Symbol at around 7 to 2. Winter Power at 6s. She's so brilliant at York, but will that form translate to this track? Art Power, a bigger price at 8 to 1. Glass Slippers also at 10s. DJ, what do you think of this? Because I'm not sure I quite agree with Tom. I'd be wanting to take Bataille on at these prices.
I couldn't agree with Tom more. I just love this horse. My God, I think this is the best sprinter I've ever seen when he's on his game. I think Tom made some very wordy points there. I think, I wouldn't say it was a desperate ride. You know, it wasn't one of those that you say, oh my God, that's an absolute disgrace. What on earth is he at? It was more a case of he was caught in this position where he didn't know whether, obviously with Bataille, it's all about speed, but he didn't know whether to kind of take a pull and let them go and then kind of be further back than he's used to in a race, or else just sit with them and hope his class kind of prevails. And I think if Bataille hadn't maybe had the setback, and if it wasn't a rush to the King's Stand, I think Bataille's class would have shined through. But I think it was just a case of maybe he was a little bit short, and fitness-wise, maybe it just didn't get him over the line. But, you know, we still tried a very short and run, and he still got to the front. He still showed the same zip. And to me, like, he has the potential to absolutely batter these, I think. I think every year from Bataille, we see one absolutely incredible performance. Last year was in the Nunthorp. 2 years ago was in the Nunthorp. I suppose last year you could say it was either the King's Stand or in this race where he absolutely bolted up. But his performance in the 2019 Nunthorp, I thought, was as good as sprinting, probably the best sprinting performance I've ever seen. I thought it was unbelievable. He got an RPR 129 for winning that day. I don't think he has regressed that much since then. I'm not sure these sprinters are absolute world beaters. Dragon Symbol is obviously a very good horse, but it's a big ask. You're not just stepping down from 6 to 5. You're stepping down from 6 to take on the best sprinter I've ever seen over 5. So that's a massive ask for Dragon Symbol. Obviously, he's getting a little bit of weight, getting the three-year-old allowance. But Bataille at Goodwood is unbeatable. And if he has come on from that performance, if Jim Crowley can do what he wants to do and just take a lead but not get carried into a real pace duel up front, I think 11-8 is some price, Maddie. I think this will be the one performance of the week we're going to go, wow.
I love that. You've both made me look like a fool, but I love that. Confidence.
No, the race isn't over yet, Maddie.
Confidence behind Bataille then to win his 5th King George Qatar Stakes. Listen to them, don't listen to me. We'll hear what they both have to say about the fantastic handicap on the final day, the Saturday, the Unibet Stewards Cup. Always a great betting heat, this one. Some new blood, I feel, in this sort of 6 furlong handicap division. I'll guide you roughly through the top end of the market. Now you've got First Folio and Hurricane Iver and Fresh all on around 8 to 1. Comanche Falls, Zarzini and Chill Chill around the 10 to 1 mark. Then Elchtilab and Boom Shalar, Chief of Chiefs and Biesla all at 14s at 6 to 1 bar. What do you look for first when you look at the Stewards Cup? Because this is a very unique challenge for a horse, Tom.
Yeah, two things. Firstly is the draw. Unfortunately, we can't look at the draw just yet because it hasn't been made. And there are 115 horses in there at the declaration stage. So we don't actually know the final field just yet, which makes this incredibly hard handicap even harder. Secondly, I look for a horse that's been targeted at the race. This is a massive handicap. Obviously, a coveted prize, huge prize pot. 115,000 to the winner. Horses will have been aimed at this race all season long. And hopefully I found one at a decent price that has had this as his target and goes in there slightly under the radar.
Okay, who is it? Reveal all.
Well, that's Miras, the trainer Mark Johnson. He's only a four-year-old. I think he's under the radar because he's been a bit disappointing in this couple of runs this year. Two starts already this month. In typical Mark Johnson fashion, he's running him as quickly and as regularly as he can since he's come back from his layoff. He came into this race last year, Miras, as a three-year-old, which shows how highly he's regarded at home. It's such a hard race to win for a three-year-old. He was actually sent off at just 11-2 as well, which is a ridiculous price for such an inexperienced horse. Saying that, he ran such a good race. He was leading with 150 yards out to go. He was drawn over the far side, unfavoured far side, it has to be said. Somergand won the race from stall 17. And over the far side, only two of the first six were drawn over there. The second horse, Kimi Five, and Miras, who led for much of the way, made a bold bid. Virtually impossible to win a Heritage Handicap from the front, making all the running. Miras tried that, and I thought he ran very respectably. Went down on his sword. He gets to run off £3 lower this time around. It would be £6 if he was able to run off his current mark of 97, but unfortunately the weights were made in advance prior to his two runs so far this year. So he's £3 wrong at the weights, but £3 better off than last year, which I think is a crucial point given how well he ran. So he's got more experience under his belt. He's a hardier horse. Mark Johnson seems to have targeted this race like he does with most of these Goodwood Handicaps. I'm really quite interested in Miras at a price. Now, I'm just hoping that he doesn't draw low again. He's definitely going to get into the race. What is he, number 14 in the entrance at this stage? And around 20-1. So I'm very intrigued about Miras.
I like that. A very, very persuasive case made for a big outsider in a big handicap. DJ, where are you looking in this market? The same sort of way as TC? Or do you think the leaders will hold sway?
No, I've liked one for this race for quite a while, but there's a caveat with it. I like Atalanta's Boy. Now, I'm sure TC and yourself know Atalanta's Boy well, and a lot depends on the start, which is a bit of a nightmare because the race could be over after 3 yards, as it was last time at Windsor, as it was the time before when he ducked right at Epsom. But he's 4 from 6 at Goodwood. You know, he was well fancied for this race last year. He went off 11-1. And lo and behold, he did his party trick at the start, and that was the end of that. He's probably an in-running play because there is so much risk attached to the break when it comes to Atalanta's Boy. But if he does break, he's rated 95, and you obviously look at that and you say that's a career high mark for Atalanta's Boy. But I actually still think he's quite unexposed. He's won 6 of his 18 starts, but like probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 of those races were just completely non-events where he's been beaten because he's completely missed a break. So I actually think if he breaks, he's going to be very hard to beat. I'd imagine, given his Goodwood record, I'd imagine David Menuzier has had this race in mind all season because obviously it's the Stewards' Cup. He loves Goodwood, 6 furlongs, that's what he needs. Like the race at Windsor last time was a non-event. I don't think he's that badly handicapped off mark at 95. I think he's less exposed than a lot of these. And as I said, it's just all about the break. If he breaks, I think he's got a smashing chance.
It's interesting you say that because I was actually at the yard a week or two ago and they train Atalanta's Boy. I didn't ask him too much about the horse, but they train him almost exclusively on his own. So that quirky streak that you sort of talk about is definitely... It goes deep. So it is a risk you're taking with this horse, but he's clearly got so much talent. And he's one of the only sprinters in the yard, actually. So that shows you how good he has to be against David's other more middle distance horses, but certainly in with the chance, as you say, he produces his best at the track. So all eyes will be on Atalanta's Boy in that Stewards' Cup. Now we're going to throw over to DJ here to take the lead on a mini Galway Festival preview getting underway today. I'm sure you're really excited, DJ. We've got the two races on the running order, the Galway Plate on Wednesday evening and the Galway Hurdle on Thursday night. But so many other good handicaps on the flat. What would your number one piece of advice be for punters looking at this meeting, hoping to back a few winners?
Oh, say a few prayers, I'd say, Maddie, would be the main thing. Just, you know, say a few prayers and hope for the best because there's a lot of luck attached to Galway. Look, on the flat, if the ground is decent, you want to have a low draw and you want to be on the pace. If the rain arrives, which we're not getting as much as Goodwood, but if the rain arrives, generally the inside draw isn't as much of a help when it rains. So you wouldn't be too bad if you were drawn out a little bit wider. And they tend to kind of come wide when there is a bit of cut in the ground. So just watch out for the weather. It does suit prominent races, obviously, on the flat track. Over jumps, there's no real hard and fast rules. There's a very long run in. Obviously, there's the two fences in the dip, and then you've got the guts of a 3 furlongs run in, certainly over 2 furlongs. So it's a funny place, and you get funny results. And the market does speak volumes. There's often decent gambles brought off that come from completely left field. So it's a fascinating meeting. It's obviously quality wise, it wouldn't be up to Goodwood, but it is fascinating. Unfortunately, there's only 1,000 allowed in every day, so the atmosphere won't be quite what it was in 2019 and for the last I don't know how many years. But look, there's a few people there, so it'll be interesting. I'm going to start off with the Galway Hurdle on Thursday, if that's all right, because I'm pretty sweet on a horse here. Trained by Sneezy Foster at the moment. It is Magic Tricks, that's owned by JP McManus. This horse is seriously well handicapped. I'm utterly convinced of it. He's a brother to Abacadabras. So he's obviously, you know, got plenty of ability. May have a few quirks like Abacadabras as well, but I think he's got loads of ability. He's rated 137. He should have won a hot handicap hurdle at Fairy House over Easter at the Irish Grand National meeting off a mark of 132. Kind of slowed in into the last, made a little bit of a mistake, and Hearts or Trumps picked him up on the run-in. That was a fair performance for a horse running in his first handicap hurdle with 20 runners around Fairy House. I thought that was a hell of a performance. I really did. There were valid excuses next time at Punchestown. I thought he's much better than that. He's running off a mark of 100. He's running off a mark of 137. I think this is a graded hurdler. I think this time next year he'd be definitely at least 150. So I do think he has a lot up his sleeve. He's a really slick jumper as well. For a horse that's only ran five times over hurdles, he's a slick jumper. He's had his pipe opener on the flat at Killarney, where Derek O'Connor rode him. He was second in a flat maiden in the same race that Jesse Evans ran in. I just really like this horse. He is best priced 10-1. Wouldn't be surprised if he was the plunge horse in the race. I think he's a very good horse, and I think he's got a massive chance. That's Magic Tricks in the 6:15, the Galway Hurdle on Thursday. Galway played on Wednesday. We had the Dex through earlier today. The Mercurial Sam Crow heads the race, heads the weights. I'm sure you are both Sam Crow fans, are you?
Not sure about that one. It's
absolutely
a
not.
Relationship.
Yeah. He gets bad El Press. Poor El Sam Crow. You know, I've never known like a dual Cheltenham Festival winner to get the abuse that poor old Sam Crow does. But look, Jordan Gameford takes off £5. He is a class act, and it would be some story if Sam Crow won the Galway Plate off top weight. I'd love it because I just have a personal thing that I like.
You
about
just
the
like
horse.
Winding people up, don't you?
I do. Yeah, he's just one of these horses. He's just when you least expect it. Like everybody had complete. Well, I know he only started 4-1 for the JLT for the Marsh when he beat Mellon and Faheen and Mr. Fisher. But like he kind of, even though he started 4-1, he kind of been written off that day, and everybody kind of said, ah, he's finished. And it was a similar story when he won a Killarney back in May. It was like, ah, he's finished, forget about him. He was pulled up the last trice, he's tried 3 miles, and then he came out and he won and he beat Silas Emery. Last time at Listowel, Barry Brown rode him, made a mistake 3 out, and that was the end of that. I actually think he'll run well. It's a big ask because there's so many well-handicapped horses in here, but I think he'll run well. Last year's runner-up, Royal Rendezvous, has a big chance. Now he's up. He was second early doors off 1.46. He's up to 1.53, so he's up £7, which will make life tougher. Willie Mullins hasn't won the race since 2011, but loves to go right-handed, and I can see him run the big race. But potentially last year's winning trainer and owner, Joseph O'Brien and JP McManus, could have the winner here in Top Moon, who, you know, punters had their fingers burnt a couple of times with Top Moon, but he looked like he got his act together last time at Wexford. I thought he won snugly there. He went up £8 for winning that, but it ensured that he was going to get into this race, so I'm sure they wanted him to win. And I just thought, if there's one horse that could just be a little bit ahead of his mark, it was probably Top Moon.
Fantastic. You can really feel the change in energy from DJ, can't you, when you bring Galway into it. Such an Irish institution, isn't it?
Have you ever been there, Maddie?
No, I've not. Not been to Galway yet.
Yeah, you need to go some year. You'd be signing autographs from the first race to the last. You'd be a hero over there.
My other half actually went on a stag do there, and I think the less I hear about that, the better.
Yeah, I see. I actually saw him. He was chatting up a few women, Ari.
You're going to get us all in trouble. Any other horses to mention, DJ, on the flat?
Yeah, there's a few. I mentioned Joseph O'Brien there, and the Colm Quinn BMW Mile is the feature race on Tuesday at Galway. And I think Joseph O'Brien has a really interesting horse in here. It's a funny one, but it's called Mazagran. He got this horse from Dubai, and it won twice at Jebel Ali. And you never know how well a horse is handicapped when they come from there. But he won a rated race here when he was rated 82 at Limerick. Absolutely bolted up. Went up £12 for that. But he just looked to me like he was a stakes performer in the making. He won by three lengths. Really, really snugly. Always looked like winning. And to me, he just screamed, you know, BMW mile winner. He's 13-2. I thought he'd take a bit of beating in that race. And later on that card, at Galway on Tuesday as well. I like one in the 740. No, it's not. It is the... I'll have to find it now. There it is. There it is. The 645. It's the mile and a half and furlong handicap. It's spouse for Jessica Harrington and Shane Foley. This is a filly I think could be well handicapped off 88. She won a maiden at Nace two starts ago, and the second frill, the fourth Blazing Star, the fifth Woodland Garden, and the eighth Mother Country have won maiden since then as well. So the form of that race worked out really well. I just didn't think the race was ran to suit last time at Limerick. They all were in a bit of a bunch. She was kind of hampered inside the final furlong. Would have finished a bit closer, but for that, behind Letts. Drawn and stall too, perfect draw. I think she's a filly. She's a well-bred filly. And I think if things go her way, I think she could be well handicapped off 88. When she won at Nace, I thought she could be running a group race next time. So a spouse who could be a bit of a price in the 6:45 at Galway on Tuesday.
Thank you so much, DJ. You've had all your punting needs catered for on this show so far. Let's get to the all-important naps now then.
This will not be beaten.
Tom, I'll let you go first. Galway, not so much your scene, but Goodwood certainly is. Who's your best bet?
Well, it will be Maras if he runs in the Stewards' Cup. But as we don't have final declarations just yet, I'll put in another one, which is May Danny in the 150 at Goodwood on Tuesday, a mile 2 furlong handicap to kick off the meeting. He won the race last year by 5 lengths for trainer Mark Johnson, who's won the race 4 times in the last 9 years. He ran really well last time at Ascot when Dane O'Neill put up an overweight, which probably cost him the race behind Magical Morning, a very good middle distance horse. I think May Danny can bounce back from a good draw in stall 5.
And DJ?
I will go for Magic Tricks in the Galway Hurdle. That's the 6:15 on Thursday. I just think he's a lot better than this mark, and I think he's going to be very hard to beat. But one that I do like at Goodwood tomorrow, I'll just give it a mention. A horse called Scattering runs in the 4:45. It's a maiden. It's a son of Showcasing, and I actually saw it running first time out in Newcastle. And I just said to myself, this, no matter where this shows up next time, this will win. It was a real eye catch. It was only beaten a length and a quarter into third that day. And just kind of got to know the job really late that day. Catch Cunningham won it for Kevin Ryan. And I just thought it was a really likeable performance from a horse that was going to learn plenty. Now, the horse that was just behind it next time ran poorly at York since then. But I think Scattering is a horse who could have more to offer. So I keep an eye on him. He's in the 4:45 at Goodwood tomorrow. I think he'd be about 4-1.
Fantastic. Best of luck with your bets at Galway and Goodwood this week. Hope you back a few winners. Hopefully we've given you some sound advice to delve into those cards. As always, if you enjoy these shows, please rate, review and subscribe. And Bruce and the team will be back on Friday to give you everything you need to know looking ahead to the weekend. We'll see you very soon.